The National Archives take great care preserving many of the most important documents in American history. The Washington, D.C. agency includes automatic bunker homes for the Declaration of Independence and the United States Constitution in case of emergency. Special collections at the University of Arkansas may not be quite that high tech, but one of the missions of special collections is to make documents like papers and letters involving J. William Fulbright, diaries of early Arkansans, and rare books accessible to researchers and students. Recently, a new edition arrived at Special Collections. We asked two Joshuas to explain the details surrounding the manuscript. Joshua Byron Smith is an assistant professor of English and the associate director of the Medieval and Renaissance Studies program at the University of Arkansas. And Joshua Cobbs Youngblood is a research archivist and outreach librarian for the University of Arkansas Library's Special Collections. Joshua Byron Smith says the manuscript marks a first for Arkansas.
The University of Arkansas, Special Collections of the University of Arkansas in particular, has purchased a complete medieval manuscript. And now we have the only full medieval manuscript that is in the state. There used to be a small collection of medieval manuscripts in Little Rock. It was a private collection, but it was sold some decades ago. And so now we are the proud owners of the only medieval manuscript in Arkansas.
And the title of this medieval manuscript is?
Well, it's a Bohemian Feral Psalter. I'll let my scholarly colleague over here correct me on my pronunciation if I get something wrong. But yeah, so it's a Psalter from the 15th century. When we describe it and we make it available and we put it in the library catalog, we'll call it a Feral Psalter, Bohemian in origin.
Yeah, so help me break down those three words.
So it's Bohemian, so it's from the area that is Bohemia, so Central Europe now. A Ferial Psalter, so a Psalter is probably the most important book in Christianity for 1,000 years. A Psalter contains just the Psalms, and for medieval Christians, the Psalter was the most important book of the Bible. If you knew how to read the Psalms, you could get you could read allegorically Christ into them. If you learned how to read Latin, the Psalter was your first book. So if you were a monk, if you were a nun, if you indulged in private devotion, then you would say all of the Psalms, 150 Psalms, in a couple weeks. You could get through those. So they knew them by heart. So the Psalter was one of the most important books in medieval Christianity, and they produced lots of individual Psalters. A Ferial Psalter is a Psalter that's not organized numerically versus one, like Psalm 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. A Ferial Psalter puts them in the order that you will need them for the liturgy. So every day has a particular assigned set of readings in liturgical Christianity. And you would look in something like a lectionary to find out what psalms you're supposed to say for morning devotion. And those aren't going to be 1, 2, and 3. They're going to jump around. And so the Ferial Psalter puts those in the order that you need them. So you don't even have to skip around. You can just go in the order of that you need them. So it was kind of a useful innovation. Instead of having to flip around, look at 3, then try to find 142, you can just go. The order's already made for you. So it's a pretty common book, but one of the reasons we wanted to purchase a common book is for the teaching value. Because it is common, we can use it to teach lots of different things to our students at the university.
So it's important in its day. It's important now in 2017 for the University of Arkansas?
Well, absolutely. So not every university has the privilege or the chance to acquire one of these. We've gotten the chance to do that, so it's exciting for us. It's really exciting for the University of Arkansas Libraries because it shows how we can support the teaching faculty on campus, how we can support student growth, how we can support new and growing programs. And so we, for several years, we've been working with Josh Smith and other scholars in the Medieval Studies program, in the English department, History department, in Visual Arts, to use medieval documents. So, it's part of our collection development strategy. So the library helps support collection development in lots of different ways. We buy lots of stuff on Arkansas history. We buy lots of stuff in chemistry and, communications, English. But then we also have to buy special objects and special materials. And so in special collections, we do that through rare books. We do that through manuscript material. And sometimes we get the opportunity to get some really, really special and unique things. So in the last several years, we've been buying facsimiles, or very nice copies of medieval documents, and we've been working with Josh Smith and other faculty on campus to do that. We've gotten some really great stuff. We've actually purchased more than 20 facsimiles in the last few years, in the last 5 years. Everything from books of hours to Psalters to Gospels to some things outside of Christianity, to a Quran, a Haggadah, and some really marquee things, but they're facsimiles. And so the experience for the students is good and it's great. It's something that we haven't been able to offer before, but it's a little bit different. And so because of the teaching and research development and growth that's happening on campus, the time was right for us to go after a more marquee item, an original, a complete codex. So working with Josh a couple of years ago, we actually got a couple of individual leaves. We got, was it 12?
I think 12, and then a few more
A few more since then. So these are fragments of medieval documents, mm-hmm. So not complete ones, but and some really, really nice things. And we're able to host his classes and classes from other faculty several times each semester to work with those. But then as we're doing other areas, we're trying to go into other areas, like the history of the book.
I want to know, what do we know about this book?
Yeah.
We don't know a whole lot because we haven't had it that long.
Yeah, it's
and it didn't come with a lot of description, so we're not exactly sure what we're going to find. I've only examined it for maybe 3 minutes. It's brand new on campus, so it is a beautiful Psalter. It has very early binding, which is pretty rare. And honestly, it's probably going to be an item that two of my colleagues, Laura Walsh and Mary Beth Long, are going to be really interested in from a research angle to see what they can find out about this Psalter. So I don't really know yet. So that's an area for more research.
Being in the library, I have got to work with it a little bit more, although it's not an area of concentration as a researcher for me. My areas of concentration are way out of scope for that for research. But as a collector and a rare books librarian, it's fascinating. So I've been studying it from that angle. It's a small object. And so, you know, if something that you would just see passing down the street, you think, oh, that's a little book. But it's a very special book. It is beautiful. Josh mentioned the binding. So the binding is not the approximate date for the book is about 1450.
1450, okay.
So, which makes it technically the oldest complete book that we have in the library now. We did have a couple of other 15th century books that are print books, so this is now our oldest complete book. And the binding's almost close to that period, so when you're thinking about, like, some of the teaching I've seen Josh do, of how's a book constructed, you know, what all goes into, what's the process beginning to end, what's the content versus what's the material value or the aesthetics of this thing, it's fascinating. Just a little anecdote about that. So we're keeping it in a vault right now. Mm-hmm. We have a couple of vaults in the library. And so I was taking it from one vault down to show Josh, actually, and some other people in special collections and start doing some initial evaluation of it, you know, how we're going to treat it and how we're going to talk about how we're going to unveil it. And as I passed somebody in the hall, they immediately turned and looked because it's not the sort of object you're used to seeing in a university library. And just right away, like, whoa, what is that? And just that take from somebody that didn't know what I had in my hands.
And so this is not going to be kept. You mentioned it's kept in a vault now, but it will not reside. I mean, it's going to be out for instruction and examination and.
Well, so there's considerations in there.
Well, of course. I don't mean that I can just walk in after eating a chocolate bar, but I mean you're not – it's not part of a collection that is then just mothballed.
Yeah, exactly. Mothballed or the contrast to mothballed is, I think, a really good way of looking at it. So we think of our collections in special collections at the U of A libraries as active living collections. That part of that is we're growing our collections all the time. So when we have opportunities like getting the first complete medieval codex in the state of Arkansas, we want to take that opportunity. We also are acquiring archival material from, you know, Arkansans, from politicians, mm-hmm. from cultural figures. We do that work all the time. But it's also living in the sense of we're a student-first university. We take teaching and we take scholarship and research very, very seriously. And so we want to make things as accessible as possible. So just in special collections, you know, I mentioned Fulbright's papers. You can come in and work with Fulbright papers. I brought an undergraduate student to Fulbright papers yesterday. In fact, 3 days ago, I brought a middle school student doing a National History Day project into a box of Fulbright correspondence. This is something you could do in an archives, and it's something you could do in a rare books library. And we love that opportunity. Me personally, it's what I live for. It's why we do this work. But think of, like, the vault. What's in the vault? Is the Psalter going to be in the vault? Yes. Yes, the Psalter is going to live in the vault. But the vault comes open. And so I work with somebody like Josh, another teacher that wants to work with it, or a visiting class, and we'll open it up. Some of our facsimiles are really fine copies of medieval documents that we have. I also keep in the vault. That's purely just, you know, like a value-wise. Don't want it damaged. Don't want it to be checked out. Don't want it to be misplaced. But other things we have in there, you know, we have a, in the U of A libraries, we have a first printing of The Origin of Species. So this is a an incredibly valuable object, valuable in every sense of the word. We keep that in the vault, but it comes out because sometimes people want to look at it. And so even though we keep it cordoned off, we keep it protected, we want to make sure the preservation and access are our priorities we're using. We also want these to have some utility, to have some true value for the university, which is through teaching research.
Yeah, I have to say they do a great job, Kyle. So I bring students in several times a semester, usually, and it's not uncommon for a student to come up to me a few weeks later and say, I like that stuff so much, I went back the next day, and they let me look at it again. And I love that about the University of Arkansas Times. Yeah.
When something like the Psalter is arriving, how does it get here? Is it FedEx, UPS, USPS?
That's a great question.
How do you get it here?
That's a great question. Well, all those fine businesses you just mentioned all offer insurance. So there is special shipping that we do. So we often work with – the libraries will work with the books or with an auction house, or sometimes there are larger entities that sell these sorts of things. For a special purchase like this, where there is literally no other example, we're going to work with the person that has it, right? Yeah. And then they'll work with us on shipping. So so part of what we do in special collections all the time is order archival collections, sometimes large, often small, or rare books as part of kind of our regular development. And we'll have to work with the seller to get it here and get it here in good shape. So we know what it looks like before it ships out. We know what it looks like when we get here. We report back. One of the things I have to do with all the rare books, including the Psalter when it showed up, was to go to pull it out, inspect it, compare it to the pictures I received, reread the description again, kind of stop the shaking in my hands a little bit. Like, okay, this looks like exactly what they described to me. And so it's you know, we checked it at every stage. But, it's a lot of foam peanuts, a lot of nice packing.
I imagine. What will happen at the reveal on the 18th? Do you know yet?
So we have a pretty good idea.
Yeah, we do. So it's going to start at 4:30 on the 18th at Carnal Hall, so right on campus. And the public is welcome. And there'll be some food and drinks, I believe a cash bar, and some appetizers will be provided. And there'll be remarks starting about 5:15, but not very many remarks, maybe like 7 minutes worth. A few of us will talk and give a little introduction. And then most importantly, the Psalter will be the guest of honor and will be out for public display. So,
but keep the drinks away.
Yes, I've been in touch with them about this. Yeah, so we have to keep the Psalter and the drinks far apart from each other. Yes.
We'll have a few other items probably from special collections there to kind of, again, like put it in context, show how it lives, how we're going to take care of it, show how it fits into our resources, but really make that the feature.
Gentlemen, thank you both very much.
Thank you.
Joshua Cobbs Youngblood is a research archivist and outreach librarian for the University of Arkansas Libraries Special Collections, and Joshua Byron Smith is an assistant professor of English and the associate director of the Medieval and Renaissance Studies Program at the University of Arkansas. They discuss the new, complete medieval manuscript now owned by the University of Arkansas. The public debut of the manuscript will be October 18th at Carnell Hall on the U of A campus, beginning at 4:30. And tomorrow on Ozarks, just a bit more about archives as we take notice of American Archives Month this month and how it will be observed Thursday on the U of A campus. That's on tomorrow's Ozarks at Large at noon and 7.